The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine, North Carolina History for Students. Today we'll be reading from Volume 61, Number 2, the Spring 2022 edition, Behind the Scenes at the North Carolina Museum of History. And where we're going to start today is with the Marketing Spreads the News article, which is about the Community Engagement and Marketing section of the museum. The North Carolina Museum of History has a lot of history to share, from new exhibits and festivals to educational programming. But what good is a great exhibit or a cool program if people don't know about it? If nobody comes to the museum or looks for it online? Community engagement and marketing, marketing being the activities that help tell people about an organization's or a business's services and products through websites, social media posts, press releases, and promotion of events through TV, radio, magazines, and other outlets. Community engagement and marketing to the rescue. This section employs all kinds of methods to get the word out and make sure you know all about the fun things going on at the museum every day. Read on to learn more. It's like conducting an orchestra. Working as the director of community engagement and marketing is a bit like conducting an orchestra. Every day we pull together many different parts and players. Every member brings a beautiful sound after years of hard work refining their craft. The final performance tells a story and breathes life into the past. Our team works with social media and videos, with the press, the public, and on our website, all to reach you to tell the story of the people, history, and places of this great state. And one of the best parts? I get to meet some pretty amazing people who are creating history every day, just like you. That was from Marcy Gordon, who is the Director of Community Engagement and Marketing. New technologies tell stories from the past. 100 years ago, when the North Carolina Museum of History was new, photography was new too, and those early photographs were the only way to record and share what the museum looked like. Thankfully, technology has changed, and we now have lots of exciting new ways to capture history and share what's happening at the museum. As a digital content producer, I get to create digital content that captures all the exciting events going on. The footage I film has been used in social media and local news stations throughout the state. I also help the curators of the museum to share historical information and promote our various exhibits. Video is a great way to communicate and share information with large groups of people, and it is a fun and challenging career. That was from Mike Green, digital content producer. Let's stay in touch through social media. Do you use social media to stay in touch with your friends? Well, that's what we do, too. I run our social media accounts and manage our website, among other jobs. Creating content for the museum is a dream job for me, and one of my favorite things about handling our social media is sharing funny and odd pictures from the museum's extensive photography collection, as well as creating the memes that can be found on Instagram and Twitter. This allows the museum to show more of a humorous side, which really connects well with our audience. That's from Carrie Burns, Digital Marketing Manager. Writing the news for you. Do you like to write? Then you might like working in marketing and communications because we do a lot of writing. In my job as part of the marketing team, I write press releases for news stations to let them know what the museum has planned in the coming weeks. I write articles for local newspapers and radio ad scripts. I even create weekly emails that go to all those subscribed to the museum. Working for the State's History Museum has been a dream job for me. It's fun creating a voice for the museum and sharing the state's history with our visitors. That's from Raven Duncan, Marketing and Communications Specialist. Groups need extra help. Some people visit the museum by themselves, with a friend, or with their family. But when people visit as a group, they may need more planning. As Director of Capital Area Visitor Services, CAVS, that's how I help. CAVS handles the coordination for groups of 10 or more that plan to visit the Museum of History, but also for the Museum of Natural Sciences, the State Capitol, the Legislative Building, and the Executive Mansion. One of the greatest joys of working in my position is helping students come in person to see what they have read about in their textbooks. That's by Stephen Nicholson, Director of Capital Area Visitor Services. Field trips are fun. Do you like to go on field trips with your class? Often when a school group comes to Raleigh, they want to see a lot of things in a short amount of time. I help schedule field trips to some of the downtown Raleigh sites for North Carolina schools. I love seeing the excitement in the eyes of school kids when they come to Raleigh or visit a museum for the first time. That's by Karen Thornton from Capital Area Visitor Services. Here are the captions that accompany the photographs in this article. Digital content producer Kristen Crawford sets up her camera and other equipment for an interview she is about to film in the museum's lobby. Once she finishes the interview, she will edit it together with footage from around the museum for a video that will be posted on the museum's website and social media accounts. A school group heads into the museum's award-winning permanent exhibit, The Story of North Carolina. What do you notice about this photo? It was taken before the COVID-19 pandemic, so no masks. Marcy Gordon, Director of Community Engagement and Marketing, helped promote new inductees to the museum's Sports Hall of Fame exhibit, including All-American UNC basketball star Phil Ford. Others pictured include Bobby Guthrie, Associate Director of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, and Spectrum News anchor Carolina Blair. Members of Community Engagement and Marketing section attend almost every museum event so they can share the story with the public. Carrie Burns takes videos at a recent Tar Heel Junior Historian Association annual convention to share on social media. Junior historians explore history in a gallery workshop at the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association annual convention. Drummers World Drumline wow the crowd to a kickoff at a recent African-American cultural celebration at the museum. Museum visitors explore activities celebrating Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, which offered an opportunity to learn more about that holiday's traditions. Next is a winner from the secondary division of the Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine Article Contest. That particular 2021 annual contest was write a letter to the director of the museum and share how the museum has influenced your love of history. What are your favorite parts? What would you like to see more of? What suggestions do you have for our next exhibit? And the winner was Claire Ledford, who is a member of the History Hounds of Central Carolina, North Carolina Home School Adventures in Sanford, Claire Cox advisor. Claire was the winner of the 2021 Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine Article Contest Secondary Division, and this is what she wrote. The 1825 Return Tour of Lafayette. Dear Mr. Howard, quote, if you don't know history, then you don't know anything. You are a leaf that doesn't know it is part of a tree, unquote. That's from author and filmmaker Michael Crichton. History helps you realize who you are and what your place in the world is. We can learn many lessons from history if we only make an effort. The North Carolina Museum of History is a great place to start. I remember the excitement of going to the museum and rushing upstairs to the History in Every Direction Tar Heel Junior Historian Discovery Gallery to show a relative the projects that my brother and I had done that were on display. Knowing that people are learning from one of my projects gives me great pride and joy. I have been visiting the museum ever since I was a small child, and I have participated in Tar Heel Junior Historians since I was old enough. I have many fond memories of the museum and of going through the special exhibits like North Carolina and World War I, Starring North Carolina, and Toy Boom. I finally remember the feeling of showing around a friend who had never been to the museum before. And I remember times spent sitting on the floor with fellow Junior Historian Club members at the annual convention, waiting for the winners of the contests to be announced. I love history, and it has been my favorite subject for as long as I can remember, partly due to learning through visits to the museum and many historical sites instead of boring textbooks. I am currently training to be a volunteer docent, where I hope to inspire others to love history as much as I do. When I go to college, I want to major in history and then pursue a master's degree in museum studies. I hope to one day work in the field I love and to bring history and how we connect with it more to life for others. One of my favorite historical figures is the Frenchman, the Marquis of de Lafayette. I spent an entire year researching about him for one of my contest entries. I admire Lafayette because he defied his king, gave up a fortune, and risked his life to fight for the cause of liberty in a country not his own, ours. I believe Lafayette's 1825 return tour would make an interesting and interactive exhibit. Lafayette had 7 stops and 1 detour in North Carolina, and this is what the exhibit should focus on. I recommend that the first display be a map of North Carolina marked with all the places Lafayette visited, plus a small introduction panel. Then the visitors will walk into a carriage where a video of scenery is shown before you are informed that Lafayette's carriage is stuck just before Murfreesboro. This is precisely what happened. Then visitors exit the other side where they are in a room focusing on Lafayette's first stop, Murfreesboro. Visitors then enter the next room through an archway cut out to look like a carriage. This room is designed like the Indian Queen Inn where Lafayette stayed and ate on his second stop at Northampton Courthouse. Visitors will board a ferry to travel to Lafayette's third stop, Halifax, and the Eagle Tavern. This room will allow visitors to learn about taverns of the time. The fourth stop would be a section focused on Enfield and the branch home where Lafayette made a speech. Visitors can make a speech from the replicated balcony. The fifth stop is a replica of Henry Donelson's house in Rocky Mount where Lafayette stayed the night. After this stop would be the detour where Lafayette's son, George Washington Lafayette, who was traveling with him, saved the life of a general by stopping a bloodletting after a carriage accident en route to Raleigh. This area would include medical practices of the time. Then visitors walk through another arch, again shaped like a carriage, into a space focused on Lafayette's time in Raleigh, including all of the places he visited. You will want to include a replica of Canova's George Washington statue and Lafayette's comments about it. The next room would be dedicated to his final stop in Fayetteville, including a station to make paper roses like the kind many wore during his tour. Another station focuses on teaching dances from the time period to represent the ball held there. Other possible room features include seamless video walls of women and men describing the scene or what it felt like when he visited, a display including Lafayette's carriage, and a driver uniform from the Fayetteville Lafayette Museum. I would also include the M. Horace Say sketch of Fayetteville, the first city named in his honor, that was a gift to Lafayette in 1814. Finally, visitors would exit through a passage or a room with Lafayette's picture and his quote, "I read, I study, I examine, I listen, I reflect. And out of all of this, I try to form an idea into which I can put as much common sense as I can." And a little about Lafayette about the 1825 return tour, including his death. The Lafayette exhibit could expand visitors' imagination and inspire them to love history and the museum as much as I do. I hope you consider my suggestion for the next temporary exhibit to be on the 1825 return tour of Lafayette. The Marquis de Lafayette is an integral part of North Carolina's and the United States' early history. He made a selfless commitment to liberty as one of the first foreigners to help support America achieve its independence. As Judge Toomer said at Lafayette's stop in Fayetteville, the names Washington, Lafayette, and Hamilton will ever be dear to American patriotism. And let it be remembered that Washington and Lafayette fought for country and for home, Lafayette for liberty alone. Thank you for your consideration, Claire Ledford. Here are the photographs accompanying this article. Lafayette stayed overnight at the historic Eagle Tavern, known as the Eagle Hotel in the 1820s, on February 27, 1825. The building was moved to its present site in the 1840s, now part of the historic Halifax State Historic Site. In 1973, it was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. This full-length portrait of the Marquis de Lafayette, born 1757, died 1834, the first foreign dignitary to address the United States House of Representatives, was presented to the House by French artist Ari Scheffer in honor of the occasion in 1824. Lafayette, a hero of the American Revolutionary War, was received to great acclaim throughout the United States, including several stops in North Carolina. The portrait hangs near the rostrum to the speaker's left, as it has since the opening of the current House chamber. Americans mourn the death of the Marquis de Lafayette, for whom Fayetteville is named, by wearing ribbons like this one from 1834 that commemorated his alliance with George Washington and the Patriots. This platter commemorates Lafayette's visit to America in 1824-1825. The almost year-long visit produced various commemorative souvenirs across the country. The scene on this plate depicts his landing in New York Harbor in August 1824, near the beginning of his trip. This plate belonged to the Howard family of Tarboro in Edgecombe County. The next article, Meet Colonel Fred A. Olds, the museum's founding father. Have you ever seen the statue pictured above on the steps of the North Carolina Museum of History? Who is Fred Olds, and why is he important to the museum? Read on. Colonel Frederick Augustus Olds, O-L-D-S, born 1853, died 1935, was a newspaper columnist, editor, lecturer, and historian. He was a colorful, energetic man who loved history, and he wanted others to love and appreciate it too. He was the founder being a person who creates or establishes something that is meant to last for a long time, such as a business, museum, or school. He was the founder of the Hall of History, North Carolina's first history museum, what we now know and love as the North Carolina Museum of History. Olds began working in the insurance field, but soon became interested in journalism. He worked as a reporter for the Raleigh News, and later as city editor of the Raleigh News and Observer. In the 1880s, Olds joined publisher Samuel Acourt Ashe and fellow reporter William Lacey to encourage their readers' interest in learning history and saving artifacts. In 1885, Olds went a step further. He asked readers to bring artifacts to the newspaper office to be stored temporarily. Olds also traveled all across the state looking for pieces of North Carolina's past and listening to the stories that people told about them. He hoped that one day this collection would be displayed for others to enjoy and learn from. He was so passionate about this that in 1886, he quit his full-time job at the newspaper and became a freelance correspondent or reporter. That gave him more time and freedom to pursue artifacts and his interest in history. By the 1890s, Olds was one of many voices stressing the state's need for a historical museum. In 1900, he joined the State Literary and Historical Association, a newly created group that had the formation of a museum as one of its goals. By then, Olds had collected almost 300 artifacts, and he offered them to serve as the basis of the museum. He also helped name, organize, and run the Hall of History, which opened in the Agriculture Building in 1902. In 1914, the Historical Commission took over the Hall of History with two goals: to teach the history of North Carolina and to preserve historical materials. Over the next 20 years, Olds visited every county in the state at least three times, ultimately collecting almost 30,000 artifacts. A lot has changed since Fred Olds first began collecting artifacts for our state. Today, you can go to school to study public history and even get a master's degree in museum studies. And if you mention Olds' name to today's North Carolina museum professionals, you might get a mixed reaction. They will praise the founder of the North Carolina Museum of History for his devotion in arousing the interest of North Carolinians in their history and in preserving artifacts. Yet they may also cringe at some of his methods. He did not always keep the best records. His exhibit cases were often crowded. Another thing. Have you ever told a story about a baseball game or something that happened at school and maybe, well, added a little color to the story to make it more exciting for the people who are listening? That was typical at the turn of the 20th century with both newspapers and museums. Overly sensationalized storytelling was the norm. Olds, too, sometimes practiced a somewhat creative approach to history. To add drama and win audiences, he often mingled fact and fiction in his description of an artifact's history, while offering little evidence to support his stories. For many years, Olds did not maintain a catalog to keep track of artifacts and their histories. It seems he kept just about everything in his head rather than on paper. And he was always ready to share these stories with young and old alike as he met people on the street or in the halls of the museum. Unfortunately, most of those unique stories, as well as the documentation on many artifacts, were lost when Fred Olds died. By contrast, today's museum professionals use very meticulous methods to preserve and document our collection. But Olds did the best at the time. He tried to save as many of the state's artifacts as he could, and without much assistance, he placed them on exhibit for everyone to see and enjoy. His exhibits were crowded because he wanted to display everything in the collection. These artifacts were clustered together according to the time period with little interpretation. But again, this was common museum practice at the time, employed by the Smithsonian and other museums across the nation. Fred Olds did not have television, the internet, and social media like we do to spread the word about North Carolina's history. So he sought other ways. He frequently lectured at college summer sessions and in public schools. Sharing with school children was perhaps his greatest joy. He organized sunshine clubs for young people, and he often took school groups on tours of Raleigh and other historical sites. He even had a school named after him, Olds Elementary School in Raleigh. All in all, Olds' achievements heavily outweigh his shortcomings. By the time he retired in 1934, he had gathered thousands of North Carolina artifacts that might otherwise have been lost forever, and he cared for them as best as he knew how. That is why we still remember him and honor him as the founder and father of our museum. Olds died in 1935 and was buried in Oakwood Cemetery in Raleigh, but the Hall of History he helped create continues to grow today as your North Carolina Museum of History. Portions of this article were adapted from an article originally published in the February 1993 issue of the North Carolina Museum of History's Cornerstone newsletter. Portions of that article came from Harry S. Warren, Colonel Frederick Augustus Olds and the Founding of the North Carolina Museum of History, a master's thesis at East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina in 1988. Here are some photograph captions. A photograph of Frederick Olds circa 1880 to 1900. Frederick Augustus Olds was the son of Lewis and Pauline Evans Olds, natives of Pitt County. Following the death of his mother, he was raised by a relative in Hillsboro and attended school in Cary before enrolling in the Virginia Military School. School kids say hello to the statue of Fred Olds on the front steps of the museum. And here's a closer look, sidebar article, at the 2009 Tar Heel Junior Historian Association Annual Convention. Students had a chance to learn about the colorful character known as Colonel Olds and see some of the objects he collected that evolved into the North Carolina Museum of History collection. Here's the letter from the editor, What Do You Think? By Kathy East. What did you think of our behind-the-scenes peek at the North Carolina Museum of History? Is it what you expected? Did you learn something new? I did. When I was your age, I was an introvert who often got tongue-tied if I had to talk in front of class. But in middle school, I signed up for a journalism elective and discovered a new way to talk, on paper. I went on to write and edit for my high school newspaper, studied English literature and journalism at UNC Chapel Hill, and did a summer internship at the Winston-Salem Journal. My first job was at a small-town North Carolina newspaper before I moved on to magazine and book publishing. But do you know what? I never thought about being an editor at a museum. I always loved reading biographies, watching movies set in the past, and reading historical fiction, and I loved going to museums. I just never thought about there being editors behind the scenes. But I got lucky. Life led me to the North Carolina Museum of History, and I discovered that working at a museum is really fun. I get to do all the things I love, reading, writing, editing, and playing What's Wrong with This Picture, otherwise known as proofreading. Plus, I learn something new almost every day, whether I'm creating a new issue of Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine, writing exhibit labels about your winning history projects for the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association Discovery Gallery, or working on an exhibit team like Beach Music, making waves in the Carolinas. So I hope this issue got you thinking. I know you love history because you're a junior historian reading this magazine. But what else interests you? What else do you like to do? Do you think it might land you a behind the scenes at the museum one day too? Here are a couple of photographic captions. The cover of the second issue of the Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine, which came out in January 1962, volume 1, number 2. It's been published ever since. A page from inside the magazine includes a photo with the caption, "The scale model of the birthplace of Andrew Johnson was constructed by Harriet Martin, junior historian from Raleigh." Think about it. Do you like to do any of the things listed below? How could you use these skills and interests to work at a museum one day? Maybe this issue will give you some ideas. Draw or paint. Write articles or stories. Use tools to build things. Create art projects. Look at old photographs. Take photos of interesting things. Read novels about the past. Work and play on computers. Go to museums and visit historical sites. Make videos. Use detective skills to figure things out or solve mysteries. Lead group projects. Perform in plays or speak in front of groups. Talk to people and ask questions about the past. We've run out of time for today's episode of North Carolina History. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.